The following podcast is a W2M Network original production. Visit W2Mnet.com for all of our other great podcasts, plus news, reviews, articles, and opinions from the worlds of wrestling, video games, football, and entertainment.
It's gonna be a football game tonight, now.
No doubt.
It's gonna be a football game.
Here. Okay.
I done been here.
All right, let's go, baby. Hey.
Toss to White. He's in. Patriots win the Super Bowl. Brady has his fifth. What a comeback!
Watson. Touchdown! Hunter Renfro. Little man makes another enormous play. 1 second remaining.
Ladies and gentlemen, football to the max.
Your host, Sean Garmer, Gary Vaughn, and Randy Isbell.
Hello and welcome to, yes, you are not mistaken, this is a football to the max show. I'm not doing soccer on the wrong podcast or anything. We're not doing wrestling on the wrong podcast. We are talking about football. And yes, we are back. Randy was very, very busy during this time off here, and more busier than we were, Gary and I. And I think we wanted to come back a little earlier, but falling asleep and other things happening. That didn't come to pass, but Randy now has two children, newborn, baby daughter. How does it feel to, not be sleeping as much?
I'm remembering how that works, getting the 2 or 3 hours in whenever possible. But everything's going wonderful here, and baby couldn't be more perfect.
That's awesome, man. Congratulations. And, all three of us on the show are dads, and it's kind of funny. Now it can technically be my three dads. That could be the new show, my three football dad show.
Yeah, all daughters now, so.
I know. We all got girls, so we got to throw that mixture in somehow too, right? So one of these days, guys, when we get older and we're doing this podcast, it'll be, half of it will be telling what shotgun we're using to protect their daughters, and then how many guys we like in football. So,
right. They'll be talking about, good things about the football players. But we are here to do our, we've done this, I think, for at least 2 years in a row. I don't know how long, if we did it from the beginning, but this is kind of our comeback episode. It's kind of a fun thing for us to do, kind of leading into the draft, just to get our thoughts out there on the, that first round of the draft, some of the players that have been widely talked about, that kind of thing. This is not meant to be a draft preview where we're going to be dropping knowledge on you constantly. So if you're looking for that kind of thing, not that I want to shoo you away from here, but this is really meant to be more of a fun thing for us to kind of do some predictions, and let's see if any of this is right come Thursday night, which we're about 2 days away from the draft. I can't believe we're talking about that again. God, last year we were getting ready for the whole first round live. Thank God we're not doing that again.
Yeah.
By the time we got to pick 20, I was like, oh my God, this needs to end now.
It gets pretty bad when you're sitting there talking about breaking down the commissioner walking from the stage.
he took so long to walk.
Oh, my God. But, I couldn't agree more. This is going to be a lot of fun. I've been really, really looking forward to talking about this. And not because I'm a draft expert, because I'm probably the furthest from it. But I love when we did this last year, because there are some things that, we kind of thought of in our own predictions that the other guys didn't agree with. And I kind of like that back and forth, And it's just fun. And this is kind of like when we do our, Sweet 16, Final Four, and the whole, tournament for basketball, for college basketball. That's what's fun, is you have those debates, you have those little inquiries that maybe you didn't think about something that someone else has got an idea. So I'm excited about doing this.
Randy, I don't know if this happens to you, but, Gary and I were talking about, if I'm at work and, I'm I'm not with the boss that's a total crab. I can listen to podcasts, and I'll turn on one of the draft podcasts or whatever, and probably about, you know, these things usually about like an hour each one. By the time they get to about like 30 minutes in, whatever they're saying is like totally going over my head. And then I think when I get in the car and I'm done with work, I'm like, did I remember anything that they just said? And I just listened to about six of these podcasts. So it's not that I don't care. It's just, man, it's so hard. Even though we watched a lot of college football last season compared to the, you know, seasons before when we've had this show, it's still just, it's so hard to grasp and remember all these things if you're not constantly looking and studying this minutia. So I don't envy the Mel Kuypers and the Todd McShays and the all these guys that do this all the time. This is it's a job, certainly.
Yeah, it's definitely a ton that goes into it. And as you said, when you listen to those kind of podcasts, they're throwing so much just statistical ridiculousness out there, whether it's from the combine or, oh, I watched this tape for the 32nd time, and on this one play, he stepped wrong. So I moved him down a couple spots in the draft. They get a little crazy, I think, at times. And you're seeing that right now with the way that, you know, the draft keeps getting pushed farther and farther back. And here's now at the end of April where, like, well, what are we going to talk about? Well, Myles Garrett takes plays off. Well, who doesn't? Give me something else. We have nothing else to talk about now. So,
yeah. Well, you know, now they have to do it after the schedule release because we have to have a whole 2 hours talking about what order teams play each other in.
Hey, so. I want to know who's going to beat my Jets win. Okay.
No.
You know.
Oh, man. Yeah. It's a moment where you look at your schedule and get to feel optimistic or, you know, very troubled.
I mean, I don't know who decided the Kansas City Chiefs need to be in prime time six times, but, you know, it is what it is.
The same people that thought the Chicago Bears should be in prime time back-to-back weeks.
Well, that's not surprising. They do this, like, every year, don't they?
More, Chicago Bears, more prime time games or more wins next season?
Who's the quarterback right now?
That's a good question, right? Oh, man.
Even better, the Jets have one primetime game. More primetime wins for the Jets or more wins?
Oh, they got to have more wins. I can't.
I don't know. I just don't know.
And the whole schedule thing also makes me feel bad for Eagles fans because Thanksgiving has all the NFC East teams except them. And they got left out of that, you know, so... It's kind of funny the way that worked
out. If your mascot is a bird, you do not want to be playing on Thanksgiving.
I'm pretty sure they're happy to be with their families anyway and not have to play on the game. So, it is fun that now we're going to have like a doubleheader on Christmas so we can open those gifts and watch football. I'm always down for that. So, Speaking of football, I feel like last year we had like a sound effect or something. I don't think we have it this year, but... I can pull a weird sound effect, I guess, but what does this do? Yeah, there we go. This is a bell. Let's just
use Saved that. By the Bell.
Okay, so basically, here we go. We're doing this round. We've already picked the players. You can decide to switch your player if you want to. That's not on the list. Of course, you people won't know that because you're not looking at this Google Doc that we have. But we picked the players beforehand so that we wouldn't be sitting there going. I don't know. Let me go through this thing a million times, but
now you have me wanting to change just for that fact.
Yeah, exactly. I'm not going to do it, but yes.
But you know, it's interesting because there's a lot. I mean, look, there's so many freaking reports that come out constantly about this player, that player. You know, the thing this morning was, oh, now the 49ers are like. Really considering a QB, but I've seen mock drafts where the QB gets taken at the number two spot. I've seen drafts where you don't get a QB till way later, where the Browns are going to do some ridiculous trade where they might do one and two, you know, so this is interesting.
This is the fun part of the draft for me is all of the speculation, all of the poker play. that comes into it. Because honestly, if you drafted this first round based off of talent, most of the quarterbacks would go late first round, early second. But because it's the NFL draft and everyone just has to fall in love with quarterbacks and show that, yes, we're trying to find that franchise quarterback, they have to go up and reach for him. So now it's, oh, do you want to reach for him? Well, we're really interested in him. So if you want to, if you really want him, you either better take him at one, or, you know, we could take your other first round pick. And I know you have 2 second round picks. We could take those two. And it's so much just bluffing, and you never know exactly what is going on until it's going on. So I've heard rumors of Cleveland possibly trading in any one of those first 5 or 6 spots.
Yeah, that's going to be super interesting to see who stays there, if there's a trade at all. Because last year we were talking about, oh my God, this like, we know what 1 and 2 are doing, but after that it's a crapshoot. This year, like, even Cleveland could freaking decide to, you know, I don't think they said that they're not doing it, but it's like Cleveland could decide that they want to just get out of the first pick and you know, not take Myles Garrett for all we know. But yeah, moving on to the actual, who is on the clock? The order is going to be Gary, me, and Randy, and then it repeats. Obviously, just for you guys keeping score at home. So, Gary, you are on the clock.
All right. Being the first team, which is the Cleveland Browns, I'm going to go all the way to the very last second. So I'm going to hold my breath, and you just count me down. That's what they do in the real draft show, right? They should just go ahead and hand the card in right there, and they don't. They play around. I'm going to go ahead and give it to you, Myles Garrett. And my reasoning behind this is he's the best player in this draft. This guy is super talented. He's one of the best players in college football last year. And I know, there's all sorts of mock drafts out there that say, no, Cleveland may not do that, and they're going to go after the quarterback that they've coveted, and they've done that about 75 times in their history. So they should go get Mitch Trubisky, however you ever say his name. They should go get him and take care of business right there. No, I really feel like their best option, and I think they'll probably go along with this as well, is go ahead and go get Myles Garrett. No matter what he said in the offseason, it's all about talent acquisition in this league. And so I think they're going to go ahead and take the best player available while they can. You can never get too many good pass rushers when they're at this talent. So I think this is definitely a good move if they go ahead and get Myles Garrett here.
I don't think I can disagree with that at all. Look, Myles Garrett's been pushing for the number one pick forever. I think since he decided that, all right, I'm showing up at this combine, I'm going to be the best player in this draft, I'm going to be number one. He's been the consensus number one, pretty much. We know how much of a great talent he was at Texas A&M. Just Cleveland needs defensive players really badly. They need so much. Let's not kid ourselves. I mean, they need like 30 players. But
well, they have the chance to draft all of them. Yeah, they have like 30 draft picks over the next 2 years.
Right, but I mean, like, I think look, well, the best teams usually start on either both or one of the lines, and when you've got an opportunity to take a guy that could be there for, if, you know, the front office handles things correctly, you got Jamie Collins from the Patriots last year, you re-signed him. Put another guy on that defense that you can totally count on, and what you're hoping, as long as he stays injury-free, in Myles Garrett.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they always say, what's the most important position in sports? The quarterback. So what's the most important position on the defense? The guy that can come around the edge and blindside that quarterback and make him the most uncomfortable possible. So Myles Garrett playing the perfect position, and all reports other than some of the naysayers out there over the last week or two shows that he's the best one available.
Yeah, no doubt on that. And now we're going to move on. And I am on the clock with the San Francisco 49ers, Kyle Shanahan. Now coming in, being the coach of this team. And you've got John Lynch being there as the GM. So you've got a player. and a guy that's been a wonderful coordinator for a lot of, you know, he's been the quarterback guru now. That's the thing. When he steps in, your quarterback is the, you know, look at Matt Ryan. You know, the great years he's had offensively. You know, Navy, you don't, and they actually performed well in the playoffs this year. Didn't do so well in the Super Bowl, but hey, you ran into the buzzsaw that was Tom Brady and the Patriots. So, you know, can't win them all, I guess, in that respect. But I'm going to sort of believe the reports here because I think that Kyle Shanahan kind of wants to start off his career here and say, look, this is – he doesn't have to, right? He can wait till next year. He can waste another year or whatever, but – this is such a win-now league. You want to start off on the right foot. You don't want to give anybody any thoughts of, well, we just wasted a year. We tanked. Right? We're going to wait till 2018 and see if there's better quarterbacks out there. We're going to go. Now, look, there's possibly they could trade down here with somebody. But we're not going to do trades here because we'll be here all night. If they don't trade down, I think they wind up going for it and go with Mitch Trubisky. I think I've seen a lot of people say he's the best quarterback. He's got his own problems, just like all the other quarterbacks do in this draft. That nobody's polished out here that you're going, oh, let me draft him. He's the consensus guy. Mitch Trubisky is the best of what's available, and had he stayed in North Carolina, who knows if we're talking about him in the same way if he performs just the same as well next year. But look, they've got Brian Hoyer there. They've got Matt Barkley, who did fine in Chicago. Two guys that could be ahead of him. He doesn't even have to play his first year while they still try to build a team in San Francisco. They got to get everybody except for Carlos Hyde. They pretty much got to get a receiving core around them. They got to get a better offensive line. Almost everybody. Some of that defense is good, but offensively, they got to build a lot of that team. And let's see what they can do with a full year under Kyle Shanahan, full offseason, and take the quarterback. Why not?
The only reason I disagree with you, and listen, you could be 100% right, not only with the 49ers taking him, but just the fact that Trubisky will be number two if they trade. That would probably be the person that somebody would draft or trade up for. But the reason why I don't think the 49ers are go Trubisky is just for the fact that, as you said, he doesn't have to start next year. It's a long process there. And the rumors that I keep hearing that what San Francisco wants is they want Kirk Cousins, and he will become available next year. So I think they are going to go ahead and build up the rest of the team and hope they get Cousins next year, and if not, then get a quarterback in that round. But Trubisky, I'm right there with you that he is the best quarterback in this draft.
Yeah, I agree, and I think all of us are probably expecting him to be the first off the board when it comes to quarterback. So if it's San Fran, if it's, oh, I don't even know, maybe it's Chicago surprises us. You know, he's definitely going to be one of the top guys to go off the board.
Well, let's move it on to number three. And Randy, you are on the clock with the Chicago Bears.
Yeah, when you draft for the Chicago Bears, you just look and you're like, okay, what do we need? Okay, everything. That's what we need. So I just looked around, and actually with Sean, you taking Trubisky at number two, it made it more difficult for me as you dropped Solomon Thomas, who I thought was going to go through the 49ers. So I bounced around a little bit between Solomon Thomas and Jamal Adams, and I ended up going with the defensive line. I think, as you guys have said before, that's where you really want to start building your team is offensive defensive line. So that's where I'm going to go is with Solomon Thomas from Stanford. Build that defensive line before you start getting the secondary. But either way, either of those picks are great.
Definitely. And in this league, you know, you are right about that. Whatever line it is, it does matter. And this draft is not strong when it comes to offensive line. So what do? You take the next best defensive lineman, and I think this guy is it. So I don't think that's a bad choice, and it definitely gives them a chance to do what they need to do when it comes to stopping Aaron Rodgers, and that's getting a high-performance defensive lineman.
Yeah, I mean, Chicago proved last year that they could. I mean, they got Floyd last year in the first round. So going defense isn't bad for them. Personally, I think they're still lacking in defensive back help more than front line. But I'm not the one drafting for them here. So they could go either way. There's a lot of these teams. Listen, the defensive backs are so good in this draft. It's defensive backs, tight ends, and D linemen. So, you know, and running backs. You know, those are the key positions we're talking about here. And it's going to be one of those choices of, okay, do I help the line or do I help my secondary? Is there anybody out there? Is the secondary so good here that I can wait till maybe the second round and still get somebody good enough? And they proved last year with Cody Whitehair you can get the offensive line talent later and maybe they pan out. So, you know, this is not a bad choice, I think, certainly to pick a stud like Solomon Thomas and shore up that D-line with Floyd and with some of the other cats that they got over there in Chicago on the defensive side. Gary, here we go with this conundrum right here on the clock. Are at number four, the Jacksonville Jaguars. Of course, they've always got a lot of holes.
Yeah, and the Jaguars definitely could, you know, add once again to their defense like they've done in a lot of the drafts. I mean, they started out with defense last year. They've really focused on that so much, but I think that they really want to help their offense this year by getting a guy they've had their eyes on for a long time, and that's Leonard Fournette from LSU, the running back sensation himself. He's definitely a powerhouse running back. He's going to give them a lot of help when it comes to getting into the end zone. Not only that, keeping their offense a little bit more balanced. You know, they get so pass happy, they're forced into being pass happy because they get behind in games. But I think that they really want to start maybe controlling the clock a little bit, and they see their possibilities and some of the great things that they can do by having a talent like Leonard Fournette. So I thought maybe this would be a good choice for them.
Yeah, I mean, and you talked about them pass happy. Leonard Fournette's probably the best route runner of all the running backs. So, you know, gives a Blake Bortles, who's on his last leg because they've already pretty much said they're not picking up his option. This is his you got to do it or you're out year for Blake Bortles, and giving him a weapon, a guy that you know can run. TJ Yeldon's been decent, but he gets hurt. They brought Chris Ivory. He was decent again, but he also has injury woes. Leonard Fournette is not the most healthy running back either. You know, he's had some issues at LSU too. So, you know, this is why that thought of, well, do you go with a more durable guy like Dalvin Cook? And it seems like ever closer we get to the draft, we keep hearing about, are these two really that separate from each other where they deserve to go a whole 10 draft picks separately? You know, so, and there's also the Christian McCaffrey question out there too that, you know, I've seen many mock drafts that have him high and then some that have him way down there low. So this is such a crapshoot, but yeah, Leonard Fournette, not a bad option there for Jacksonville. So we move things along here to on the clock. Are the Tennessee Titans and the Titans were pretty decent last year. Marcus Henry doesn't get hurt towards the end. Maybe we're talking about them really making that push towards the playoff, but you know, with Mariota going out, they were that fate was absolutely sealed for them. They improved very much on defense. Mariota had some talent, but the one thing they're still lacking to me is that wide receiver that you can depend on. They thought it was going to be Dorian Green-Beckham. They go and trade him to Philly. They, you know, you had a Tajay Sharpe that looked decent. But I think you go and get a Mike Williams from Clemson and shore that up. You know, hopefully he has much better luck on the injury end than his friend there, Sammy Watkins, also from Clemson. Much more durable for Mariota and can be there. But when the dude steps on the field, you know he can play. He's going to give Mariota a terrific outlet.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's a perfect pick for Tennessee. They are a step or two away from really becoming great contenders, and that's one of the pieces they absolutely need. Give Mariota, who continues to improve each and every year, that go-to option that he really just has never had in his career.
All right, anything, Gary?
No, I mean, he's a great receiver. He really is. You know, the one thing, you know, the only concerns me about him is, you know, he's a big, deep threat, but what can we see with his speed? Is he going to be clouded by a lot of speedy, you know, corners? So this is going to be so much, you know, interesting about watching him next year. But I don't think he's a bad pick. He's definitely probably the best receiver coming out this year.
All right. On the clock. Randy, your New York Jets are at number 6. What do you got for them?
They're going to run out of time.
I mean, you know, they definitely need the quarterback help. They need defensive line help now. They need
they need
secondary help.
If they draft a quarterback, I'm on suicide watch.
Uh-oh. Oh, God.
Out there. Right now.
Wow.
No quarterbacks for the Jets. No, not happening. The way our mock drafts work, I absolutely love it, actually. If the Jets can get Marshawn Lattimore, the cornerback from Ohio State, to replace Darrell Revis and start to rebuild that secondary, again, you have to look at how are you going to beat the Patriots. You go out and get the cornerbacks to shut down the wide receivers, to slow down Tom Brady, gives yourself a chance. Go for the cornerback. Go for the smart play. If they go after like a Deshaun Watson or something, I don't know if I can watch football next year.
Yeah, I mean, I understand. You know, they definitely need that quarterback. They need somebody to step in that role. But once again, I mean, they're in a division where it's not so much all the time about outscoring people. It's about the fact that if you can shut down somebody's offense, you can probably beat them in these close games. Heck, I mean, the Jets have even kept New England in check for a lot of the games they've played. It's just New England somehow, some way, always kind of finds a way to eke out that win. But a guy like Lattimore can take away one of their biggest receivers, and then Tom Brady's on the run trying to figure out somebody else, and they keep adding to that defense in this draft. That's going to give the Jets a heads up compared to maybe some of these other teams, depending on what Buffalo does and, of course, Miami. So I think Lattimore's a great pick. I don't know how you go wrong with him. Honestly, I think you're securing yourself with this corner compared to going to get one of these quarterbacks in this draft.
Yeah, I don't think you can – you guys are totally right. You can't be wrong on what's happening here with this team. And being able to pick – a guy like Marcus Lattimore, that's just a perfect fit for the Jets, honestly. You'd hope he's there. Now, Gary is once again picking here on the clock. The Chargers, the Los Angeles Chargers now. Now, Gary, you apparently had a brain fart and did not see that there are – you're combating here for the own pick that you made because you have – the pick of the litter here as far as your secondary go, because you have Jamal Adams, Malik Hooker, and even more. Are you going to go against your pick and go with the guy that's been more highly touted, or are you going to stay with your pick here?
Are you saying Malik Hooker is not the best safety in this draft?
I'm saying that from everything I have read and seen, Jamal Adams is apparently a little bit better. But it might be, you know. It might be a little bit of a, you know, pulling hair.
It may be, and it's interesting because we just talked about before we got into this draft about how everybody's got their own board, who thinks who's better. Everything I watched today said about how great Hooker was and how Adams is close but not as good as Hooker. And I'm going to agree with him because I've watched some of these games, and I watched Ohio State this last season, and Hooker was dangerous. He's a guy that can get to the ball. He's got great eyes. trust me, I think this guy is going to be a star in this league. When you walk into L.A., you've got to be a star, right? And I think Hooker is one of those guys. Plus, me, trust me, there's plenty of hookers in L.A. anyway. So he's a great talent for – I'm just being honest.
I knew Gary was going to go there. It's just...
No, this guy's a great talent. I don't know. It could be splitting hairs. I mean, honestly. But this is the guy I think would be perfect for the Rams.
Yeah, you picked for the Chargers, the other LA team, sir.
I'm Chargers. I'm sorry. I don't know why. You got Sean's
see,
gonna mess up
see
the
Rochelle.
LA
see, he's already hate on your team, Rochelle. I'm sorry.
No, but honestly, both the Rams and Chargers need safeties. That's what my head says. But I mean, yes. See, there you go, Rochelle. Why is the NFL screwing us up already?
Yeah, Gary's just already hating on your team, and we haven't even gotten, you know, past the draft yet. God. Just,
I didn't say anything bad about his team. I said there's hookers in L.A. It has nothing to do with the Chargers.
Fair. Whatever. You know, where another team's going, there's definitely a lot of hookers there. But, you know, they haven't quite got there yet. So, anyway, we're not here to talk about what people do in the red light district. We're here to talk about some football. We go on the clock. Go the Carolina Panthers, and look, the Carolina Panthers can make a lot of decisions here. They can go secondary. You know, Jamal Adams is certainly there. I'm really tempted to go against the pick that I made because he's still sitting there. I might do it. I'm going to just stick to our mocks here just because it makes it a little bit more complicated and we have to change it later. But, yeah, so all things considered, let's say that things maybe didn't play out this way. Look, Jonathan Stewart hasn't been the most healthy guy. And this whole running – look, Carmen Artis Payne worked out fine, and you've got the bulldozer in Cam Newton. But, look, we saw last year he gets beat up, and the calls aren't really going his way. Doesn't matter how much he complains – or Ron Rivera complains, or anybody else. The only thing Ron Rivera was able to do was to keep the Atlanta Falcons from being the team that plays the Patriots in that first game of the season, because he complained last year that the Super Bowl runner-up should not be playing in that kickoff game because it's basically just putting them in a bad hole where they get to relive the Super Bowl all over again. And not everybody apparently gets motivated to try to beat them. They just... they go into the shell that the Panthers did last year where they just implode. So, you know, I think for me, when I'm looking at this, Christian McCaffrey is a versatile guy. We know what he did at Stanford as far as, you know, he had some bad games. Let's not mistake it. But he had that ridiculous year in 2015 where he just ran crazy on everybody. 2016, he didn't have the highlight crazy year, but he still had some fantastic numbers. He put up some tremendous games. I don't know that he's going to be able to completely replicate that again in the NFL, but if he can get anything close to that, and also because he can go out, he's not going to pass protect that much for you. But you know, it's Cam Newton. He can take care of himself, as he's been able to show. I don't think the offensive line talent, as we've said, is good enough to warrant picking him up here. So I got a Christian McCaffrey, I think, to kind of spell the another thing that Christian McCaffrey's been really durable, which is something Jonathan Stewart hasn't been. And I don't think you can just keep doing this Fozzie Whitaker, Cameron Artis Payne, and you don't even have Mike Tolbert this year deal. You got to find a guy that if Jonathan Stewart goes down, or maybe just to give him the other carries, you can trust in Christian McCaffrey.
I think McCaffrey, you know, is not a bad choice for the Panthers because of the fact that, you know, you think of Cam Newton and his mobility, and then, of course, those other running backs you just mentioned, Sean. I think that he's going to add a new dynamic to him, some speed, giving them an opportunity to have that X factor, that one guy that they really have to watch out for besides the one of the biggest X factors in Cam Newton. So I think he's a great weapon out of that offense.
All right, so we move on to Randy being on the clock here. with the Cincinnati Bengals at number 9.
Yeah, and with Cincinnati, listen, again, another team that needs defensive help. And they also need to stay away from the off-the-field problems. So they have enough of that in Cincinnati. So just go the cleanest pick that you can. And you look at your board and you see that on ours, Jonathan Allen, the defensive tackle from Alabama, is still out there. I think a surefire pick for Cincinnati. Not the sexiest pick. But we'll sure up the middle of that defensive line, and I think would really help them out.
Yeah, Jonathan Allen is one of the best defensive line players in this entire draft from Alabama, and Cincinnati definitely needs to get a bit younger on that end. I think that this definitely helps them. You know, they also need offensive line help pretty bad too, but again, this isn't the draft for that, so... Go on the other line and get better there. So, moving it along to number 10. On the clock are the Buffalo Bills. Where are you going with this, Gary?
Yeah, I mean, looking at the Buffalo Bills, we keep talking about this. There's so many places and positions that they need to take care of. But, you know, when you got talent and it's there and you know it's just right there in front of you, you know there's some trouble looming, you've got to look at guys like Reuben Foster. And, you know, as much as, you know, people may digress on him, you know, failed drug tests and all that, I think he's a great player. And they need someone to go alongside with Reggie Ragland to kind of help shore up that linebacker core. I just think it's too, you know, too good to pass up. So I'm going to go with him.
Yeah, I think definitely make sure that you fill up that linebacker core. I think he could also go defensive back here. Wouldn't be bad for Buffalo at all. You've got a lot of the only other I think I would possibly consider is I've heard quarterback here because they're still not very confident in Tyrod Taylor. And there's also the chance that they go wide receiver here, too, because of all the trouble with – you never know what's going to happen with Sammy Watkins. And, look, Tyrod Taylor was throwing to Robert Woods and Marquise Goodwin for half the year. Not the greatest duo there if you're looking at receivers. So, you know, your team is in that division. Obviously, you want Buffalo to be bad if you're looking at it from a subjective point of view, Randy, but – I mean,
honestly, you know, everyone's going to be talking about quarterback for a lot of these teams. Buffalo, I'm not the biggest fan of Tyrod Taylor as far as a starting quarterback goes, but I think you work on the other needs. Tyrod Taylor does enough where, you know, he's just fine. So I like actually the pick of Rupert Foster. That Gary made, solidify the defense. The offense has always been, over the last couple of years, that just a big play offense. They don't do anything for 3 or 4 drives, and then they hit the home run. Well, that works if your defense completely can shut down the other team. So solidify that defense before you start trying to figure out exactly what you need to do on the offense. Because right now, the offense isn't the way I would like to construct an offense, but it gets the job done.
Yeah, fair enough. So, you know, and Buffalo's had their trial and error with that, and now they get to do it with a different coach. With Rex Ryan not there, so this will be an interesting draft to see where their priorities lie. But we go once again on the clock. Oops, hit the wrong button. To the New Orleans Saints, and I think New Orleans definitely look. We all know Drew Brees is not getting any younger. Okay, we know that that possibility is there that they could take a quarterback at some point. And Drew Brees has said that he would like it to be somebody that obviously could come and spell him, and they don't have the tumultuous years trying to find somebody to replace him. You know, Drew Brees has also kind of been on the other end of saying, "Oh, I could be Tom Brady if I, you know, and play for a while." You know, father time is the only thing that'll catch up to you more than anything else. And the way that the Saints line has been, where you got to worry sometimes about Drew Brees, I don't know about that. But the problem that New Orleans has had for years is defense. And last year, they had so many defensive injuries, it wasn't even funny. You could definitely go a Derek Barnett here, defensive line. But I thought they did pretty well last year with Sheldon Rankins, fixing sort of that up, Cameron Jordan. So let's go defensive. Let's go with Garen Conley from Ohio State, the defensive back. Going to give you a solid, dependable corner that you know what you're going to get from every time he steps on the field. You know, he can be up there with Kenny Vaccaro to kind of add some steel to that defense, secondary, and sure up a little bit of a problematic area for them where, okay, Drew Brees had to put up points because, good Lord, you know the Saints weren't stopping anybody.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. A nice pick there with the cornerback. If I'm the Saints, I understand with the Drew Brees stuff, but this early on in the first round, go ahead and solidify other needs. You can find a franchise quarterback next year. I don't think you're in that desperate need just yet. So solidifying the pass defense is, I think, the main goal.
Yeah, I'd agree.
We go on to, again, for the second time in this draft, the Cleveland Browns are on the clock at number 12. Randy, are you doing it?
Yeah, it was nice to Gary that he traded his GM role to me during the first round. So I get to run the Browns here for a little bit. And I will say I liked his first pick for my team here in Cleveland. But yes, I am going with Deshaun Watson, the quarterback from Clemson here. I think it's a smart pick. I do worry about Deshaun Watson at the next level, just like with a lot of mobile quarterbacks. How are you going to be able to read actual defenses? How are you going to work from underneath the center? But the thing that I liked about Watson, and we saw it all last year, he was coming up big in huge situations, and you need somebody that has that confidence and that swagger that Watson has to run that team. And it works even better with the fact that you're drafting him 12th and you're drafting him with your second pick in this draft instead of making him the number one overall pick and having him here all year long, how he is now one of 87 quarterbacks that Cleveland has picked number one overall. And look at how all of these guys failed. Now he's just the second pick that they took. He's a really great talent. And let's see what he can do moving forward. So I think that's a smart pick, is taking that quarterback at the second pick that they have.
How much stock do you put in, Gary, if, say, Cleveland gets nervous and they trade up for pick 4 or 5 and go, okay, we're going to take Deshaun Watson or Mitch Trubisky there? Especially if, let's say, San Francisco does the let's take Mitch Trubisky at 2. Do you agree with Randy? That puts a lot more pressure on Deshaun Watson then. Cody Kessler's there and he was fine last year. I don't think you can totally blame the Browns' problems on him. He also got hurt last year, which that's a problem too. But, I mean, almost all the Browns' quarterbacks got hurt last year because they were constantly getting pummeled. But, you know, does that make it to where Cleveland now has to go, okay, well he's got to be in the RG3 role. He's got to start now. He's picked number 4 and number 5.
I think, you know, this is hard because, you know, my thought process, I think, could be completely different than the GMs and, you know, everybody involved in making decisions in Cleveland. My thought process is, don't throw extra draft picks just because you have them at one position. Draft as many guys as you can. Use all those picks that you have and build your team, and don't worry about that one position. Yes, quarterback is one of the most important positions, But in my personal opinion, and I'm hoping they're looking at this the same way, what Randy just pointed out, we have really no clear picture of what Deshaun Watson is going to be like in this next level. He has not guaranteed us that he is going to wow you. He is not coming into this as, you know, an Andrew Luck or anybody like at that who came out of college and you knew he was going to do something special on the next level. So I don't think they should. I think they need to wait it out, let their turn take control, and just go with it. And, you know, if there's a better player than Deshaun Watson out there, I would maybe consider, but not for him. Not for really any of these quarterbacks. I don't think really many of these quarterbacks in this draft this year are really honestly proven that they can really do it on the next level. This is a big question mark for most of them.
All right, speaking of that, on the clock, the Arizona Cardinals, a team that could definitely be sniffing around for quarterback. Of course, they will be lamenting if things do fall in Cleveland, takes Deshaun Watson at 12. But the darling of this whole draft process has been a guy that's, you know, maybe a little close to Gary's heart because he plays over there in Lubbock and Texas Tech, Patrick Mahomes. Heard a lot of talk about how Bruce Arians might favor himself to go back to being Mr. Quarterback Guru and give it one more shot with Patrick Mahomes. Obviously, he gets to learn behind Carson Palmer in, you know, what could be his last season if things don't go well. You know, do you see Arizona, let's say it plays out like this, do you see Arizona maybe, could they trade down to try to think, oh, we'll get Patrick Mahomes later? Do they go ahead and take him here? Or do you think that they really need to go in another direction and just let's leave it up to next year when we know? Because, look, there's a possibility Carson Palmer goes in week one and gets hurt. We've seen that happen.
Yeah, you know, they are really trying to look forward to the future with their quarterback situation and understandably with an old quarterback like Carson Palmer. I think the one thing that they're looking at is it depends on how this whole thing shakes out. Does Cleveland trade up to get Deshaun Watson? Do they, you know, make things hard on him where other teams are saying, oh, Watson's out of the picture and we were going to get a quarterback, so we're going to go ahead and get Pat? I don't know. That's a big, good, you know, interesting question. But I don't know that the Cardinals are going to panic just yet. I think that they're looking at quarterback as an important position, but I think like most teams, unless a guy is going to be someone they know that can step in right now, I don't know that they're going to do that just immediately. I think Pat Mahomes is a good quarterback. I think he proved to Texas Tech that he can do a lot of great things, but you know, you're also talking about a college system and you're not talking about a pro system. I think that they'll probably go ahead and just make a wise decision and do what they do for the better part of a long time, and that's go defense. I picked here a guy that I think could really shore up their linebacker core because they really need help really getting that thing back on track in their awesome defense that they've had in the past, and that is Hassan Reddick. And I think that he's a great linebacker. I think he'll be the guy. But, you know, who knows? I mean, you may have a good point here. They could go quarterback. I just, man, I'm not sold that they're going to do that just yet.
Reddick was a beast at Temple. He was one of the major reasons why Temple was so good last year, leading that defense to being that team in the, what is it, the other side of, damn it, it's the same conference that USF plays in and Navy and Houston and why, I don't know why I can't think of it right this minute.
Like the American or something like that?
Yes, American. So, you know, they surprised everybody by winning the American. And, you know, Hassan Reddick was one of the guys everybody was talking about when the season was over. So,
yeah. I always go to the quality process. And to me, this guy is proven. I think, like you said, Sean, he was a beast. And I think they want another big factor on that defense. And then they'll look and see what falls to him in the next round.
Well, speaking of the next team on the clock, the Philadelphia Eagles, a team, you know, Gary and I don't really care for too much, but, you know, we've got to be objective here. And the Eagles, if there was one thing they had a problem with last year, it was a damn wide receiver who could actually catch the ball. You know, Jordan Matthews is okay. You know, Zach Ertz proved to be one heck of a reliable tight end. And, you know, Brent Celek's still chugging along, but everybody else, my lord. I give Carson Wentz a lot of credit for holding that team together. And, you know, the offensive line for being as good as it is to kind of help hold it together. And, you know, so I think you definitely got to look at receiver here. And when I'm looking at receiver, when you get past Mike Williams, there's a little bit of a drop. But, you know, surprisingly, I think you could look at John Ross from Washington. He's definitely really good. He was great for Washington last year. But I'm going to go with Corey Davis from Western Michigan. Yeah, lesser competition, but he was one of the major reasons Western Michigan was had that one hell of a year last year. And I'm going to go with the wide receiver here for the Eagles. So
I think it's a great pick. I just want to say, I think it's a great pick for the Eagles. They've been desperate for a big-time receiver for a long time. And this kid, he's a great receiver. He's a speedy kid. And I just think he offers a lot for this team. And I think that that's exactly what they're looking for. So, Sean, I think it's a good pick.
So here we go on the clock. The Indianapolis Colts at 15, Randy. Randy, did he say something about?
Sorry, I was on mute. Sorry.
I also looked at my phone. I was like, did he tell me he was going somewhere? And I just didn't look.
No, the life with kids. Yes. You have to mute sometimes, and then you forget that you're on mute. But anyways, the Colts were a difficult pick for me because there's a couple ways you can go with it. I really was tempted to go with Dalvin Cook to give him that running game. You know, Frank Gore's getting up there in age. But I decided to go with one of the better defensive linemen still left on the board, somebody who I think could go in the top 10, and that is Derek Barnett out of Tennessee. And we've talked about it a lot. Defensive line is the major asset in this draft. There's a lot of great talent out there that you can get early on, and I think if one of these guys, whether it's Barnett or any of them, drop down to Indianapolis, it's tough to go away from that. I think the Colts have always had issues with their defense. Obviously, same with their offensive line, which they try to improve, and you're just not going to this year. So getting that edge rusher and making it tougher on defenses and making it a little bit easier on Andrew Luck where he doesn't have to put up 30 every week would be nice.
Yeah, certainly. Andrew Luck needs the help on the defensive end so that he knows if he does commit a turnover, if they have to go turnover on downs because the running game, you know, Frank Gore, again, still getting a little older. You know, you can count on a Derek Barnett. I think he's going to be your big guy from Tennessee that's going to do well. And, I mean, honestly, Derek Barnett could go higher. These guys, it's up and down, depending on who you're looking at, where you got them, you know, what scout likes what, you know, which coach likes who. Definitely, if he's still here, the Colts got a heck of a job to try to convince themselves that not to take him here. So on the clock again is Gary for the Baltimore Ravens. Who you got?
I know I looked at the Ravens and said kind of similar things. You know, they really need to add some pieces on defense. Their offense could use a little help. And I kind of centered on something that really we haven't talked about yet in this draft, and that's an offensive lineman. Lots of defensive linemen, but no offensive lineman yet. Maybe this is the spot where one goes off the board. And I think you got to look at a guy like Cam Robinson, one of the best offensive tackles coming out of college this year. And I think he's been a great piece for Alabama for quite a long time. And I think Baltimore would really cherish having an alignment that could really bolster their offensive line and give, you know, Joe Flacco and that running game a better shot at getting things done this next year.
I'd agree with you just because, you know, we've seen Joe Flacco have to kind of run for his life a little bit the past few years. especially with, you know, the health of Steve Smith and his, when his receiver core dwindled, somehow he was still able to get things done. But I think this is where you could start. There's a lot of talk about there's a nice tight end, you know, the tight ends. You could see the tight end go here because what we've got, I know that Ravens have plenty of talent there, but it's, I don't know that I would call any of them like, oh my God, God have them guys. So you could see this be the spot for one of those, but yeah, I can't argue with getting offensive line help. It always helps to have, as the Cowboys have shown, drafting offensive linemen in the first round certainly helps you. Getting back on the clock again. I think this is a pretty much no-brainer here. If he is still here, which is a possibility he's not, and I don't think anybody else other than, let's say, Fournette is still here, Fitz, I don't think if McCaffrey is here at 17, this fits so much because he's not the same kind of runner. Washington needs a guy that you can use him for both first and second down and depend on him constantly. And if there's one guy that we know that's done this, we saw him do it at Florida State constantly, Dalvin Cook, perfect, absolutely perfect for Washington here at 17. Matt Jones, you've been nice, whatever. Dalvin Cook is your dude. Washington, go get him. Give Kirk Cousins a guy that you can hand the ball off, and he's actually going to do some damage, protect the ball, which that's the important part Matt Jones did not do, and get it to those receivers and have a much more dynamic offense, which the Redskins have lacked severely.
Oh, absolutely. I absolutely love that pick. My one question to you, do you think that there's any chance that they take Trubisky knowing that Cousins' time with Washington is very short?
Well, considering some of these other teams are absolutely going to be desperate for quarterback, I don't think he's there unless Washington is that desperate that they – look, honestly,
talking about who's the third one? I'm blanking on
Mahomes?
Mahomes, thank you. Trubisky won't be there, but –
I mean, it's possible they could be one of the people that trade up, you know, so you never know. But Dan Snyder's weird. But, like, honestly, Dan Snyder, just pay the man. Just pay Kirk Cousins and shut up and swallow your pride a little bit and pay the dude. He's done what he's supposed to do to earn the money. I mean, I don't know what you want. Like, I don't want to sit here and stand on the table for the you like that BS, but seriously, like, I don't know how much more Kirk Cousins has to do to prove that he deserves to be the quarterback in Washington. And that dude's smart. He keeps taking the franchise tag and betting on himself, and if he has another killer year, he's going to command a ton of money in free agency next season, and Washington's going to be eating it because they're not going to have anybody to, you know, to be throwing the ball next year. So I think you pay the man and freaking take Dalvin Cook and you have your team for a while. Just, I don't know what Dan Snyder wants unless he's really looking for that, oh my God, I want that rookie quarterback that I'm going to have for years. And that's a crapshoot if you're building your team hoping that that happens. But get on the clock again with the Tennessee Titans, who were smart here, and this is the where we played got us the pick. The fourth pick is, or the fifth pick is the pick they got last year from, is it the Browns?
The Rams.
Whoever they traded, the Rams. So, you know, they get two picks in this draft. Randy, who you got them taking here?
I like the fact that, you know, you gave them Mike Wallace with their first pick. You know, we were talking about how there's just not enough weapons from Mariota. Well, I want to give him another weapon. And O.J. Howard has dropped down this list quite a bit. And to be honest, I don't think he's going to drop this far. But if he somehow does, I think they're rushing to the stand to get Howard. You know, tight end is surprisingly very deep in this draft as far as, like, top-tier talent, where Sean, you and I were talking about, there could be two or three tight ends taken in the first round. tight ends have completely changed the
NFL. Delanie Walker and O.J. Howard on the same team. Oof.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you get weapons for Mariota, and this team's dangerous. So if you could get a Mike Williams and a Delanie Walker and now an O.J. Howard, it works for New England, and that's what you want to do, right, is copy New England. Go out and get that double tight end threat, which not only is going to help in the passing game, but it's going to help in the running game as well.
Yeah, and if O.J. Howard falls, you know, even this far in the draft, I don't want it to happen because – it's just going to get my hopes up, and I don't want that to happen. So hopefully Cleveland or someone else decides they're going to snag him early. But, yeah, I mean, he's such a great talent. No matter where he goes in this board, I mean, he's going to help. He's going to give them the best of the best when it comes to that position. So I just smart pick here.
Yeah, certainly can't go wrong with O.J. Howard, the best tight end in this draft. And if he falls to Tennessee at 18, you're like Randy said, they're salivating at that point. And on the clock again, Tampa Bay, the Buccaneers at 19 here. They got some nice choices, Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Yeah, they sure do. They still got quite a bit of defensive talent to look at. They've got so many different options to go at. But, you know, they've really been looking for a great safety, and I think that they can go get one with Jamal Adams out of LSU. This kid, like you know, me and Sean were talking about earlier, could be the best or right there, you know, a hair.
Let me say that this is going to be really weird if he's still down here.
Yeah.
Yeah. 19. One of those that's probably not going to happen. But you never know,
right? Yeah, you know, this kind of happens every year, though. Some great talent falls in the draft, and everybody's scratching their head like, how in the heck did this happen? And if he's that guy, you know, it is what it is. But you know Tampa Bay is not going to miss out on such a great defensive talent. And, I mean, if you just got through talking about O.J. Howard, they'll be salivating. Oh, trust me, they'll be salivating for Jamal Adams here, too.
You could see some freaking crazy trades happening if that's the case, with people trying to jump over each other to get Jamal Adams. So, you know, if we are done commenting here, we are moving on. I just realized that we have the same player twice, so I got to go change one of the picks here. But, so we move on to... On the clock, the Denver Broncos. I'm picking here for the Denver Broncos, and one thing that we do know is if you're going to keep the young quarterback now, since you know you didn't get to go get Tony Romo, you know he decided to retire. You got to have offensive line help to protect him, and I think honestly, Cam Robinson. You can put him neck and neck here. Ryan Ramczyk, who is somebody that I have seen Giants fans falling over themselves that they want at 23. They could even trade up to try to get him, but if he falls in the lap for the Denver Broncos here, I think the Broncos got to take him. Offensive tackle out of Wisconsin, he is going to be shoring up your line for quite a while. He is fantastic. Gets you. And honestly, look, you got to help your quarterback out. You cannot have a guy like Trevor Siemian running around, and especially with how it's C.J. Anderson. Nobody's shown that sometimes he's not so durable, and we saw what happened with the Broncos. When once he went down, that was a completely and utterly different team. That happens again. You got to make sure you can at least keep Mr. Siemian upright. So Ryan Ramczyk here for the Broncos.
Yeah, and you're right, and that's one of the coveted positions for them right now. I think they'll go try to get that tackle. So, yeah, not a bad pick.
All right. On the clock, we move it along to the Detroit Lions, Randy.
Yeah, and again, a couple places you can go. I think Detroit would be one of those teams that would love like an O.J. Howard to just continue to drop down the draft. I almost gave him David Njoku out of Miami. It would be the second tight end off the board. But I decided to go to the linebacker position, try to solidify that defense a little bit, and give them T.J. Watt out of Wisconsin. Again, you kind of look at that division, and you have to find a way to beat Aaron Rodgers. And the way you beat Aaron Rodgers is with linebacker. Your game plan has to be to prevent Aaron Rodgers from being able to just dump passes on you all day. So I think a T.J. Watt would be a nice fit here for Detroit.
Two Wisconsin players going back to back. If our mock draft were to hold like that, so that's pretty cool always to see. Yeah, but T.J. Watt definitely was the anchor over there on the Wisconsin defense, and Detroit with oh god, now I can't remember who the linebacker is that they always like held on. He's been hurt for like 2 years almost, and he just has not been the same since then. T.J. Watt kind of helps be able to solidify that spot. And we go into on the clock again. Number 22. Miami Dolphins, Gary.
Yeah, you know, the Miami Dolphins are really trying to find smart players, trying to find guys that can fit their system and just really commit and just really have a lot of football intelligence. And I think that they're going to still add to their defense once again this year. And I think Jared Davis is a great linebacker out of Florida, and it'll give them a bolster right there in a position they could really use some help on. But not only that, giving them a player with a high football intelligence.
Isn't this the guy that has the domestic battery thing going on, if I'm not mistaken?
I have not heard of that. You have to look that up, actually. I just keep hearing about how smart this guy is.
No, it's another Florida player. I'm getting confused. But Gerard Davis is a fantastic linebacker. So if the Dolphins can shore that up, put him next to Kiko Alonso and have him learn the craft, I mean, I don't think you can go wrong there at all, if you're the Dolphins, honestly. They could look at one of the problems that they had last year, too, was a defensive backup. Certainly, you can look at that there for the Dolphins. They know on the offensive side, they kind of got things shored up, but kind of got that defense back in shape. So, either way, going good for Miami. On the clock we go to the New York Giants, and with the two linemen that have already been selected, I'm going with another lineman, sort of the third guy in this trio of linemen that I think are what people have been saying are acceptable to take in the first round. Garrett Bowles out of Utah. Giants desperately need to be able to takes, especially move Eric Flowers back to his natural position over there on right tackle. He's been decent protecting Eli Manning's blind side, but you need a more natural guy there. Garrett Bowles can do that for you. I think ideally you want a Ryan Ramczyk if you're the Giants, or even Cam Robinson, but I think Garrett Bowles is still a really, really good player, and the Giants need to fill that need, and I think he's fine there.
Yeah, I agree. And, you know, that's a big problem every year for this team, and that's offensive line. So adding another one could hopefully give them that bolster that they need.
On the clock we go. As now at number 24, the Oakland Raiders are selecting.
Yeah, and this was the easiest pick of the draft for me, and that was Kevin King, cornerback out of Washington. The Raiders need a ton of help on the defensive side. That offense is ridiculous. So if they can start solidifying the other side, you're looking at a team to watch out for the next 3, 4, 5, 6 years. And I think Kevin King is the perfect person to fit this role. He has a lot of size for the quarterback spot. He played some safety as well for Washington, so he can play either role for the Raiders, whichever one they need him best. But a nice size cover man for the Raiders would be perfect.
Yeah, and I really like this kid. I've seen a little bit of him, and I think he's a great addition for the Raiders if they do choose to go this route, because he does have that dual purpose opportunity for them in case they get some injuries in one position rather than the other. So it'd be a great pick.
Yeah, I definitely agree on there. That's a perfect pick for the Raiders. If anything, I think maybe they would have won Gerard Davis at the linebacker spot, but the one thing that they, again, had problems with was, hey, we got to be able to stop people scoring against us, and how you do that, have a much better secondary. So I don't think you can do any better than that, honestly. So we go on to the Houston Texans, who were courting Tony Romo as well. He, of course, he did say that's where he wanted to go if he would have had the option. But there's still a couple quarterbacks that people think might possibly go in the first round if, you know, you're that desperate looking for one. And Houston is certainly in that realm. They got rid of Brock Osweiler and his big contract. Is this the spot where Pat Mahomes goes, Gary?
I would say so. I really think so. If he falls this far, if no one gets a little excited and really thinks they need to take him early, I think this is a great spot for him. I think he can definitely get an opportunity pretty, readily right away and really, you know, get his feet wet here in a city that sets up perfectly for him, a defense that's great, an offense that's got some excellent weapons. I mean, he's set up for success if he can just step in there and do what he knows. And I mean, I look at this as a great situation for him and the Houston Texans both.
My only worry is that, yeah, you're right. He certainly can sling the ball. The only thing is there's been no quarterback from an air raid offense that has been proven that he can do it in the NFL.
You forgot about my favorite guy, though, Sean. The guy that I always talked about. Remember my Houston quarterback, my Houston Cougars quarterback?
Oh, my God, yeah. He was just
the guy.
He's been so great, Case Keenum.
Oh, man, you knew it. But, I'm just saying, air raid sometimes isn't so bad.
Yeah, I'm not saying that Houston wouldn't go with a pick like this. I just don't think that Mahomes is the right pick. I mean, you just said they have a great defense. They're looking for a quarterback that will do what Osweiler couldn't do, and that's control the ball. And I don't think Mahomes is built to do that, at least over the next first couple of years.
He can run, too, though. So,
well, I understand, but he's also going to turn the ball over. He's used to throwing it all over the field. Houston wants an offense that's going to be nice and methodical, keep the score low, let the defense control things, and just make sure that the offense doesn't make mistakes. They don't
give it to Lamar Miller.
Yeah. So I think over the next couple of years, could Mahomes learn how to be a quarterback like that? Absolutely. And I think he's going to be a good quarterback. And I know he's been moving up the draft board on for a lot of people as they get to look at his film a lot more and just see what kind of talents he has. I just don't think he's the perfect fit for the way Houston likes to play football.
Yeah, and I can understand that. I think they may look at the talent level and they know they could redshirt him. They don't have to play. They're not forced.
No, I agree.
To play him. So you never know.
Well, but who's going to play quarterback for Houston if it's not him?
We'll say
Tony Romo. Tony's going to go up in that booth and go, oh, wait, never mind. This is not what I want.
I don't know, man.
Tony Romo, that dude
watches film like nobody else, and what does he do with his teammates? He usually goes and he can tell them whichever person did this wrong and did that and whatever. He likes studying that kind of thing, and
that's fine. He's gonna miss it. Tony Romo would be on Houston right now if Dallas didn't keep him hostage.
Yeah, and if Houston would have traded, traded picks or something like that, they could have had him right now.
The problem is if he doesn't file papers, Cowboys still have him hostage.
Yeah,
didn't they release him?
No.
Yeah, they released him. Yeah, they did. They released him. They had to. They... No, Jerry Jones did it because Tony Romo would have to pay them $14 million if he retired.
Okay. I didn't hear the whole part of him getting released.
Jerry said, okay, we'll release you. Make a deal with me. You're not going to go anywhere because they didn't trade for you. He says, okay, I won't sign with any team now. I'll just go into the booth. So,
I mean, they already moved Phil Sims over to the pregame show and everything. So,
and everyone rejoiced.
I agree with you, but we'll see. We'll see what happens here. Anyway, we got plenty of time to think about that and how that's going to go and everything else. But let's move on with this draft. The Seattle Seahawks are now on the clock. And look, they're still talking about whether they're going to trade Richard Sherman or not. And if they're open to it, I don't think it winds up happening. But it doesn't mean that you can't have somebody... You can't take advantage of the fact that Richard Sherman is still there and draft another guy to take his spot, because eventually it's going to happen. And I think you can do that. Go with LSU's Tre'Davious White, and I think you got a pick there that's made in heaven for Seattle. So, moving it along for Kansas City, the Chiefs at number 27. Randy, what do you think?
Yeah, Kansas City is interesting because, you know, they're another one of those teams that could they be looking for a quarterback for the future? You know, Alex Smith is not going to be there that long. They have a couple other needs on defense, but to me, they still need a few more weapons. So I went for the best talent available still as far as wide receivers go, and that's John Ross out of Washington, just to kind of once again just – give them a few more weapons for Alex Smith, because they were right there. You get a couple more playmakers, which has not been the way Kansas City plays, and they could definitely be a threat. So I think John Ross for Kansas City could be a good fit.
I think so, and it's just so sad. The guy could have had his own private island if he just would have been with Adidas. So
that's all he needed. Get that private island, man.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so still going on the clock here. At 28, Gary, it's the Dallas Cowboys. Right, I'm not going to believe it on earth that this player's still here, but...
You know, this was very hard for me, and I really wish Randy would have had this spot, because he's very unbiased on this, and... This is makes it tough for me because there's so many players I could sit here and talk about. And actually,
Gary, do you want to know who I would pick?
Yeah, go ahead and tell me who you would have picked in this.
Jake Butt.
No.
Yeah.
No, I honestly, from saying what you're going to pick, I there's no one else that I would have picked other than him.
Okay, and let me explain why the hesitation for people out there. Like, why? Just tell us who it is. Okay, so this is a guy that's injured, and he probably won't be coming back into actually playing football, and probably till maybe the early part of the season. He's going to miss training camp. He's going to miss the first part of the season. And that's Tat McKinley out of Alabama, one of the best defensive ends in this draft. The problem is the Cowboys have had such bad luck when it comes to getting injured players. They've done this way too much, and this is their first-round pick, a guy that's supposed to be stepping out of the field day one to be a starter.
I mean, the reason still waiting for Jalen Smith's nerve to hit. So
yeah, exactly. That's the problem. So me saying this is probably moot. They'll probably go with somebody else. So I'll probably actually go with the next pick we'll talk about. But I'm going to say Tat McKinley because he's the best available guy. He's someone that in the future should help them and give them this excellent talent that they need in a spot that they desperately, desperately need. So Tat McKinley is going to be my pick.
I wouldn't be surprised if Tat McKinley goes earlier because being an Alabama guy, people are going to be trusting him a little bit more, what system he's coming out of and everything. I've seen him, even with the injury, going as high as to Carolina at 8. So it's really possible he's not even there. But, I mean, if any of these defensive ends that are going to get eventually taken here towards the end are still there, the Cowboys got a lot to think about. because, you know, they've also got not only this guy that I'm going to choose for the Packers at pick number 29 here. There's other defensive backs that are still on the board they could like more. But I think definitely, you know, you still got Jabril Peppers out there who, you know, he failed his diluted sample drug test because, you know, whatever. I don't think that's going to affect his draft stock or not. He may or may not get taken in the first round. We don't, just to be honest, we don't have him getting taken in the first round. So, but we could be completely wrong and he gets taken. But I have Adoree Jackson here for Green Bay. I think Adoree Jackson is a speed guy. He is very, very talented. He could help you in the kick return, punt return game. And you definitely need one of the things that Green Bay has had a problem with is they have some decent corners, but one of them always gets hurt, or you have a problem with, you know, one of them gets into some kind of trouble or whatever, and you just need another guy. Even if he plays nickel for a while, you need to be able to cover on all those corners, and I think Adoree Jackson fills that need for them. Moving on here to at number 30, the Pittsburgh Steelers. And what could be one of the most interesting choice in the whole mock draft here.
Yeah, listen, Pittsburgh could go a lot of ways. I know tight end is something that they're looking for, as well as some defensive spots. But to me, this is the team that finally pulls that trigger. We've talked about a lot of teams looking towards the future and how are you going to replace a Drew Brees or an Alex Smith or a Carson Palmer. Big Ben has already talked about retirement. It's on his mind. It is coming up in the future. So to me, Pittsburgh is the team that is going to go out there and get that quarterback of the future that they hope is up to that level. And that's DeShone Kizer. To me, probably the fourth best quarterback in this draft. But if you let him go after this pick, he's going to be gobbled up by one of those top six or seven picks that let him go in the first round. They're going to be coming back around the Buffaloes, the Jacksonville's, the New York Jets. So I think Pittsburgh here, this is the perfect spot for him if they do decide that they want to find the replacement for Big Ben, because it's coming soon. So I think that would be a big blockbuster pick for them, and to me, pretty smart one.
And you got Landry Jones there, too, where Kizer, if, say, Ben gets hurt again, which we've seen in these last couple of years, he's gotten hurt a lot. You could still have Landry Jones play, and Kizer doesn't play at all.
Mm-hmm.
You know, unless you get Landry Jones injured. So he could definitely redshirt and be ready to go 2018, and that's kind of the ideal thing you want. Where you would think if he's already pondering retirement, the only way I could see is if the Steelers win the Super Bowl, where he might think, well, do I want to ride off in the sunset, or do I want to go at it again, kind of thing, or, you know, something like that. But it's usually when you're already talking about it, you usually don't play more than one season, maybe two, you know, another at the most. So, like you're saying, we're looking at a guy that could be playing, starting this next year if things go right for him. So, what an interesting proposition there for DeShone Kizer if he really goes to the Steelers at 30. Then we have the last two picks of the first round. One of them, two NFC South teams, by the way. The first one being the Atlanta Falcons. Gary, who you got?
You know, there's lots of different players still available that this team could go with. And, you know, they showed on offense last year that they had so much talent. Defense was their problem. Defense is what let them down. And there are a lot of prospects, but some of the biggest prospects at safety and corner have gone off the board. So I think you got to go and still help that defensive line, especially when you need to rotate some defensive linemen to get more pressure on the quarterback. So I had to go with Taco Charlton out of Michigan. I think he would be a great addition to this defensive line and give them opportunity to spell some guys.
Yeah, Taco Charlton is going to be a terrific pick for them. you know, if that's what comes through. But again, like you said, Atlanta has a lot of choices here, and so do the New Orleans Saints, who have the last pick. In the first round that I will be doing here, New Orleans picked the defensive back already. And look, they could still go Jabril Peppers. They could go Quincy Wilson. They could go several others. There's defensive linemen still on the board here. But I'm going to go that way. I'm going to go Charles Harris, defensive end, Missouri. You took the defensive back already. Let's help solidify this defensive line. Get another guy on the other side of Cameron Jordan that could really help him. I'll say Charles Harris from Missouri. And guys, I mean, here's your first round mock. How you feeling about, let's say it somewhat goes the way we got it here. I mean, you feeling good about these teams after round one then?
Oh, yeah, because they listen to us. So, of course, I feel good about it.
Yeah, see, they did it right that way. No, you know, I think that we did a pretty good job here. I think we hit on some of the biggest needs for a lot of these teams. This is going to be really wacky because you know there's going to be trades. You know there's going to be guys falling and rising that you never in a million years would have thought would be in those positions. So that's what's a lot of fun. It's comparing tonight to what our show will be like on Thursday when we're talking about the recap and about everything that took place. So, I mean, this is just a lot of fun, and I think we did a pretty decent job, though.
Yeah, definitely I would agree with you. I think we did a pretty damn bang-up job for not, since the Super Bowl not being on, doing our homework a bit here, and we're going to do it again post-round one. We will be here on Thursday talking about what happened, what went down, the trades,
I might be here. It all depends on what the Jets do with that sixth pick.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. God.
Let's hope that Randy is not on suicide watch.
That is a strong thing, and I shouldn't joke about that.
That's not...
It's not something to joke about. It's a strongly worded statement for saying I might be more of a hockey fan next year.
Yeah. There you go.
Yeah. And that's sad because that means he's going for the Buffalo Sabres. Woo. Oh, yeah. So, you know, hey, look, you know, you still got the Stanley Cup playoffs going on, so you could definitely watch those instead of round two and three of the draft. So here's what's going to be going on. So Thursday, after the draft ends, around there we'll be – or not draft, the first round ends, we'll be here to talk about it. Go through the picks, all that kind of stuff. Then we'll be back on this slot right here to kind of go over the rounds 2 through 7, things that stood out, you know, players that you think are steals, all that kind of stuff. And then in the Thursday slot, we'll give our team grades for all the teams, what we think, how they did through all 7 rounds, all that kind of stuff. And then we'll... I don't know if we're going to do interviews again or what we're going to do. We'll just have some fun and probably go back to the once-a-weeks after until we get closer to the season. But, dude, it starts going up ramping fast once you get past the draft. So this is going to be interesting. We'll be already in May next week. That's amazing. Yeah. So it feels like it feels like Super Bowl didn't end too long ago. But... that's how it goes with the NFL. This offseason is very short with all the things that they got going on. So yeah,
definitely.
But glad that we can be back. Hopefully you enjoyed. Of course, you can hit that subscribe button if you liked what you heard here. And, of course, so you can either subscribe to Just Football to the Max to get just our show where, you know, during the season we come to you twice a week. In the offseason, it's normally just once a week, you know, we will do the twice a week if need be, like for right now. And, of course, we also, you know, when the season's getting closer, we do our college football stuff on here too. So if you're a big college football fan, you'll want to make sure you subscribe for that too because we cover college football pretty well. And, of course, you know, go check out WTMNet.com where you can find all of our other musings podcast-wise, You know, video game reviews, any kind of articles that are written, wrestling roundtables, those kinds of things. And subscribe to WTM Network because you get all of our wonderful podcasts in one place. You know, the wrestling podcast, the, you know, games podcast, all that stuff. It's there for you if you want to listen to it. So always help support us. You know, follow Randy on Twitter at Randy Isbell, Gary, WTM Gary, and me at WTM Sean. And of course, follow the whole website, WTMnet.com, at WTM Network. And until we are here again, enjoy your football. My gosh, 2 days away from the draft. Get excited. Get ready. This is crunch time for everybody. It's going to get crazy on Thursday. Until then, see you later, everybody.
The following podcast is a W2M Network original production. Visit W2Mnet.com for all of our other great podcasts, plus news, reviews, articles, and opinions from the worlds of wrestling, video games, football, and entertainment.